lesson on giving. Today we're in the section, we just got done with what should I give, what is the purpose of giving, why should I give. Well, today we're going to be looking at starting a section on how much should I give, how much. And we're going to start in Genesis chapter 14. Genesis 14. And 14 and this looks here, verse 20. And this is I think we looked a little bit of this last week. I'm just going to read the verse 20 today. This is where Lot was in Sodom and Gomorrah. They were hauled off. Abraham took his trained servants with him and got back the servants and everything they took. And then there in verse 20, we'll actually start in verse 17. It says, "And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer and of the kings that were with him at the valley of Shava, which is the king's dale. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. He blessed him and said, 'Blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be the most High God, which delivereth thine enemies into thine hand.' And he gave tithes of all." He gave tithes of all. How much should I give? Then we're going to go back to Hebrews chapter 7, which kind of coincides with that passage. Hebrews chapter 7. And starting in verse 1, it says, "For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. And now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. And verily they that are of the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, that is, of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. But he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham and blessed him that he had the promises." So we see there in verse 4, it says Abraham gave a tenth of the spoils. So we see in Genesis, it tells us about a tenth. It tells us here in Hebrews. So before the law was instituted, Abraham gave tithes. He was that's the first mention of tithes in the scriptures, is when Abraham gave tithes to the high priest Melchizedek. So under the law, we're going to go to Malachi chapter 3. A person gave a tithe of 10% of their gross income to God. Malachi chapter 3. And we're going to start there in verse 7. It says, "Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, Wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet he hath robbed me. But ye say, Wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that they may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts." So this is where under the law, a person gave a tithe, which is 10% of their gross income. And we see there in verse 12, it says, "And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts." He says, "Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing." So we're to give 10% of what our gross income, And then God will bless us for our obedience, but the remaining 90% is going to take care of everything you need. And that's what's taught throughout the scripture. But another aspect of it we're going to look at in Leviticus chapter 27. Leviticus chapter 27. Going back to the Old Testament. Leviticus chapter 27 and verse 30. It says, "And all the tithe of the land, whether of seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord." So this is just the end of Leviticus. This is where they're setting forth all the and they were dedicating, but all the tithe of the land, and in those days they gave of the grains, they gave of the fruit of the tree, they gave what they had, and they gave a tenth of it, but it belonged to the Lord, and it is considered holy. But we also look back at Genesis chapter 28 and 22, Genesis 28 and verse 22, this is where Jacob was coming back to Bethel, and the Abrahamic covenant was confirmed to him. We're gonna start there, and let's go back to verse 15. It says, "And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of." And Jacob awoke out of his sleep, and he said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not." He was afraid and said, "How dreadful is this place! This is none other but the house of God. This is the gate of heaven." And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took a stone that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it. He called the name of that place Bethel. But the name of that city was called Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, "If God will be with me and will keep me in this way, and I will go and I'll give me and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone," in verse 22, "and this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee." So that's just a passage where, again, it gives us, how much should we give? The scriptures teach a tenth. We should give God a tenth of our gross income. So, and then in Numbers chapter 18, another passage that goes along with this, Numbers chapter 18 verses 21. It says, "Behold, I have given the children of Levi all the tenth in Israel for an inheritance for their service which they serve, even the service of the tabernacle of the congregation." Verse 24 says, "But the tithes of the children of Israel which they offer as a heave offering unto the Lord I have given to the Levites to inherit. Therefore, I have said unto them, among the children of Israel they shall have no inheritance." So when God was setting up the promised land, when they were handing out sections of land for each of the tribes of Israel, the Levites did not get any portion. Why? Because they were serving in the temple. They were serving in the tabernacle. They were the servants of God, and they were leading in the service of the high priest, and all of them were of the Levites in those days. But we see here, we're going to be turning to Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11. So God took care of them through the tithes and offerings, and that was their inheritance. They didn't get no property, they didn't get no land. Of all the tribes, they had at least one or two cities within those different areas where the different tribes were at, because they were the leaders as far as the worship goes. In Proverbs chapter 11, so we see the tithe was holy unto the Lord and did not belong to the person. But then the next thing we see here is the promise in Malachi 3. As God says, He will prosper the remaining 90% of those of the original 100%. We can do better on 90% of our money, according to what God is telling us in His Word, than we can if we don't pay tithes and use 100%. But in Proverbs chapter 11, in verse 24, there is that scattereth, yet increaseth. There is that withholdeth more than is meet, but it tendeth to poverty. There's a principle there. And it's about giving liberally. He says, there that scattereth, yet increaseth. Those who give of a willing heart, and we're going to touch some of that in the New Testament as well, or give we're going to look at later in 2 Corinthians, God's looking for a cheerful giver. He's wanting somebody who's going to be faithful. He's going to want somebody who's going to be cheerful. He wants somebody to do it willingly. He don't want to have to force us. He doesn't force us to do anything. But each one of us, and also individually, and we're going to be looking at those aspects here after a bit. But there is that scattereth and yet increaseth, there is withholdeth more than is meet, but attendeth to poverty. See, unless we're willing to be obedient, God is not going to bless us. And that's the simple truth of the matter. And then in chapters 13 and verse 7 of Proverbs, it says, there is that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing. There is that maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches. The principle lies is, just as we go back to the New Testament and we look at the rich fool, as it says in the Scriptures, he kept on building bigger barns and he was building up himself. But then God says, thou fool, today he's going to require his soul. Okay, people who build up themselves and they're not honoring the Lord, they have their reward in this lifetime. That's just like in Psalms, where I can't remember what his name is, but the fact of the matter is he was looking around at the wicked and they were prospering until what? Until he went to the house of God and realized their end. They have an end. People that are rich and have nothing to do with the Lord, this is their reward. This is the best it's ever going to get for them. Because one day when they die, they're going to go to a devil's hell. So we see there in verse 7, it says, there is that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing. There is that maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches. See, what doth it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world, and what? Lose his own soul. I believe that's Mark chapter 8, verse 36, I believe. I'm close, if it's not right, But what doth it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? See, that's the thing, is you cannot. You cannot. That's exactly 8:36 of Mark. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the angel, holy angels. So we see here that we can live, and according to these principles here in the Scriptures, we can live better on 90% than we do 100. But then we see there in Matthew chapter 6, Matthew chapter 6 and 19, it says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So what do we treasure most in life? Are we treasuring the things of this world, which is not going to get us nowhere, because one day it's not going to mean nothing. Because we came into this world naked, we're going to be leaving naked. That's what the Bible tells us. But those things we lay up in heaven when we're trying to win people for Christ, we're trying to get out and share the gospel with those, that's what's going to last forever. That's the treasures that he's talking about here. It's about winning others for Christ. But then we also see in Matthew 23, verse 23, it says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye have to have done, and not to leave the other undone." So basically what Jesus was telling the Pharisees, paying tithes is necessary, but also matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith are also necessary. We're not to leave any of these, none of these undone. So we give tithes according to the Scriptures, according to God's Word, but we also give to missions. Where tithes may be seen or interrupted as our obligation, missions giving is an extension of our heartfelt desire to see souls saved. That's above and beyond our tithe. Our support of missions at home or abroad is an extension or outreach of our local church. Some of God's greatest blessings have come through missions giving. Now, missions giving is above and beyond the tithe. It's not part of your tithes. When you take part of your tithes and pay missions, then I believe you're cheating God of what belongs to Him and His local church. So Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. It says, "I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, notwithstanding ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only." So he's commending the Philippians for giving to him on one of his missionary trips. No other church was giving to him. He says, no church communicated, and that was the giving with me as concerning giving and receiving. Verse 16 says, "For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that you may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, and an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen." So we see here, Paul is commending the Philippians for giving and supplying for his need while he was out to other churches. But he said no other churches communicated to him as far as giving and receiving, but ye only. So he was commending the Philippians for giving to his need. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Chapter 8, verses 1 and 2, it says, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of ministering to the saints. As this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave of their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Insomuch that we desire Titus that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also." So they give of their deep poverty. They gave of all they had. We have another story in the Scriptures talking about the widow's mite. And she came to give, and she had two mites, and that's all she had. She gave all of her living. And they mocked her, but Jesus defended her because she was giving of her heart. Because it says in Matthew 6:33, it says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto him, unto you." So when we put God first, we do and we live obedient to him and to his will according to what God's word tells us, he's obligated to bless us. He's obligated to take care of us. He obligates himself. He says, "See if I won't open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing on you." God's wanting to do that. But a lot of people, a lot of Christians today, live in such a way that they don't give to God's house. They don't give tithes to God to help support the utilities of the house, to help support the expenses that goes on. And God is unable to bless them because they're not living in obedience. When somebody is not paying tithes according to what the principles from Scriptures teach, they're living in disobedience. And that's what the Scripture's telling us. That's not according to Larry, that's according to God's Word. And if we have a problem with that, we should go to God and talk to Him about it. So not only do we give tithes, we give to missions, but we give to others. We give to others. See, God channels His provisions through other people. Luke chapter 8. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke chapter 8, 6 and verse 38. Chapter 8, I don't know why I'm saying chapter 8. Luke chapter 6 and verse 38. We're going to start in verse 35. Actually, back up. Actually, we're going to back up to verse 27, because I want to read through this whole passage here. It says, "But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them that despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. As ye would that men should do to you, do also to them likewise." There's the golden rule, if you want to find it in Scripture. That's it. It says, "As ye would that men should do to you, do also to them likewise." That's simply showing respect for others, as you treat them as you want to be treated. "For if ye love them that love you, what think have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. If you do good to them which do good to you, what think have ye? For sinners also do even the same. But if ye lend to them whom you hope to receive, what think have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners, and to receive as much gain, much again. But love your enemies, and do good, lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great. And ye shall be the children of the Highest, for He is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven." It says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." See, God blesses people that give out of the right heart attitude. We've got to have the right heart attitude. Because for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. What do you treasure most? The things of God or the things of this world? But He says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom." If we treated each other, or should we say, if God treated us the way we treat Him, the shoes on the other foot, how would we feel about that? It's pretty sad. And when we're the worst. When we get out there before people, we need to think about treating them, no matter how they're treating us, as God has treated us. We need to return that to Him. "Do unto others as you would have done unto yourself." So God channels His provision through other people. One man's abundance is another man's need. Allow God to use you to supply other man's needs. Paul specifically mentions taking offerings for others in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. In verse 1. It says, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come, And when I come, whosoever you shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring your liberality unto Jerusalem. So he's saying we need to be willing to give to others. Not only give to missions, but give to others. And then although the money may not go to the church, your giving to others is still for the Lord. Because Jesus said in Matthew 25, verse 40, he said, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. That's the principle that the Lord Jesus puts into place. He says, if you've done it to the least of these, you've done it unto me. And that's the whole thing. He says, and then verse 41, he says there, Matthew chapter 25 and verse 41, he says, then shall he also say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed in an everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was a hungered, you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was stranger, and you took me not. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, you visited me not. Then shall they also answer me, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, and a thirsty, stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? And then shall he say, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to the one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, the righteousness and the righteous into life eternal. So based on how we treat others as Christians, it affects our walks. It affects what we've done. And Christ says, if you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. And we should do everything, as Paul tells us, we need to do everything that brings honor and glory to Christ. We need to bring our life, everything we say, everything we do, everything that's done in our life should bring honor and glory to God, bar none. Well, the last area we're going to look at here today is we need to give sacrificially. We give tithes, we give to missions, give to others, but we need to give sacrificially. As we read there in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 and 2, they gave of their deep poverty. They gave, their hearts were right with God. They first gave of themselves. That's what we ought to do. We ought to give ourselves to the Lord. We need to die to self daily, as Paul says. We need to crucify, it says, I am crucified with Christ. In Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, we need to do these things so God can use us. We need to empty ourselves of ourselves so God can fill us up to be able to be used of Him. They gave of their deep poverty. We see in Mark chapter 12, that was what I mentioned earlier, the widow and her the two mites. Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12, verses 41. It says, and Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And that farthing, if you want to have an understanding of how little it was, it's equivalent to a quarter of a cent. A quarter of a cent. It's not much. Okay? And he called unto his disciples, and he said unto them, verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than all they which have cast in to the treasury, for all they did cast in is of their abundance. But she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. She was so poor, but she gave of all she had. The two mites. She gave more than them giving of all their abundance. It's just something to remember. God wants us to give all of ourselves. He don't want the leftovers. He don't want the what we've scraped off and to the side and we don't want no more. He's not looking for that. He wants our best. He wants our all. She gave all of her living. See, God measures gifts by how much is left, not how much we give. If we give all of ourselves to Him, then that means all of ourselves He can use. Because we've surrendered that to Him. See, He sees our heart. He sees the heart of the giver rather than the size of the gift. Any offerings given to missions or other causes should not be deducted from your tithe. I mentioned that earlier. The tithe is for your church in its work. Offerings are above and beyond the tithe. Malachi 3 and verse 8, it says, notice, it doesn't just mention tithes, but it says tithes and offerings are not the same. They are listed separately. Our tithe is 10%. That's the principle that God gives us in the scriptures. Offering is anything else above that that we give. And that can apply to, as I mentioned last week, there's three areas in that. That's our time, our talent, and our treasure. And God wants all of that. He wants all of us. So how much should I give? Well, we're to give tithes. According to the scriptures, it's a tenth of our gross. Give the tenth of all of our increase. Okay? Give to missions. We ought to give to missions. We ought to support those people that are out worldwide, even at home in the United States. There's missionaries here being sent out to areas that have not the gospel, that don't have a gospel preaching church. We need to give to others at time of need, because there are others that come. Just as we had a couple here a while back here come, and they seem sincere. We have a lot of people call and ask for stuff, but this couple, they were willing to sit in the service through the whole service. They put a need on the in the offering plate on the card, asking for help, and we were able to help them. And we can praise the Lord for that. But we need to be able to distinguish between the ones that are sincere and the ones that are just blowing smoke in the air, because there's a lot of that going on. People try to take advantage of churches, and they try to accuse us of not being Christians if we don't give to them. Well, we just got to do it wisely. We need to take what the Lord has given us and use it wisely. So we're to give to others. Then the last thing, as we've seen there, we need to give sacrificially. God wants us to give all of ourselves to Him. Just like they did in Philippi, the Philippians, they give of all of their. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants all of us. So we're to give sacrificially. Well, next week we're going to look at the next session is how am I to give? And I mentioned a little bit about that a while ago, but we're out of time. We need to give faithfully. We need to give cheerfully. God loves a cheerful giver. We need to give willingly. Not only willingly, but individually. And when I talk about individually, it's the parents, you know, they have jobs and all that, but it's a good principle to teach the kids when they're young of whatever increase they give. They need to give of that. So when they practice it as a young person, when they get older, they don't have to think about it. They just do it. But it's a good principle, individually. Each individual is required to give of their increase. So let's pray.